our precious members shared with me this morning. Pastor, this is part 5, and we're just now getting to verse 2 of Psalm 91. You know, you're very observant. Thank you for being very observant, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, I thought maybe one more sermon, but, you know, that we got a couple more. That doesn't shock any of you. But we're so excited about you joining us. This is a series on divine protection because God is our divine protector. We can be protected not because of our report card, but because of His and His love for us. And He's a covenant-keeping God, and He loves to be our protector. And so, you know, we're thanking God, and we're celebrating the Lord. I'm giving a shout-out this morning to Ben Boren. He's connected to our church. Justin Boren, you know, this is his dad, and he came through our church and was here for a couple of years. And, boy, a neat pastor, grew in the Lord. We're so excited about him. But his dad got hit with leukemia a couple years ago, and I want to tell you, it was a battle. I'm celebrating Ben Boren. I saw him out in the marketplace this week. He's doing so well. He's out in the marketplace 2 or 3 times a week. He's praising God, celebrating God. And we call our prayer meeting Mountain Movers Meeting. And because of what the scripture says, that you'll speak to a mountain, and you'll tell the mountain to get up and be cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Hey, by faith, without doubt, we speak it. We speak to the mountain. I want to tell you, Ben Boren's a mountain mover. And if you are not willing to call leukemia a mountain, we need to pray over you. But I'm here to tell you, God moves mountains. Ben Boren's living proof. See, we're to be living epistles. We're to be living proof that the Word of God is true and that Jesus is alive. Amen? Ben Boren, thank you for that, man. We're so proud of you. We celebrate the Lord in you. You're an overcomer. Now, I want to tell you, that's what He called all of us. And so I want to tell you, your mountain may not be what Ben has faced, but whatever mountain you're facing, the Lord calls you an overcomer. He calls you a more than conqueror. And I want to tell you, that's just like the Lord, because He's paid the price for all of us to receive this. Now, just because it's offered doesn't mean that everybody walks in it. We're going to work on that today. We're in Psalm 91, but I'm going to start out in Matthew 16, you've got notes. If you don't have notes, raise your hand. They're coming to you. Well, not you guys that are at home watching. We're so glad you're watching. But we've got notes that we hand out, the scriptures and everything. So if you need notes, raise your hand. I got to tell you a little story. When I first went to Bible college, I was already preaching revivals and youth rallies. I was an FCA speaker, so I was speaking in schools and to teams. But, you know, I wasn't receiving enough income to live on and to support a wife. And so I needed a little extra help. So I was also, while I wasn't traveling, I was a youth pastor at a local church, my Bible professor's church. That was great to be under him. But at the same time, I still needed a little bit more income. And so what I saw was an opportunity to work all night long for the state of Texas. And by working, it was called the graveyard shift. I don't like that term, but it was called the graveyard shift. And I'd be at work about 9 and get off about 6 in the morning. But during that time, because it was a state facility where they kept the crazy killers, okay, maximum security, and they kept the crazy killers there. But to be honest with you, there was times every night where you had everybody asleep because it was that watch, had everybody asleep where I got to study as a student, Bible student. I got to study, and so I'm just saying to you, it was like the state of Texas was paying me to study. And even though I worked all night long, went to class in the mornings, I want to tell you, I made great grades during that time. Okay? So you know how the Lord can redeem the time. Well, I worked on the only ward that had men and women. Apparently there's more crazy killer men than there are crazy killer women. I don't know. But I did work on a ward that had women. I want to tell you, they kept us busier, I'll be honest. But I walked in one night, and I got to work early. And I like to get there early to get all set up. get my studies out. But I got there early, and when I walked in, there was an emergency going off. The alarm was going off. And when I walked in, there was a big woman. I am messing up my wire here. Okay, there was a big woman that was a prisoner. And there was four guys that were trying to control her. And I'm going to just speak straight to you. Some of the situations in the crazy killer prison were demonic. Okay, I'm just telling you. I had already walked in some of that with deliverance, so I recognized it. But this woman with demonic strength was taking four big men and tossing them around like rag dolls. I kid you not. I saw her. She would grab one, and she would throw him, and he'd slide across the room and hit the wall. And they could not control her. And when I walked in, this is what was happening. And so it was loud. It was commotion. They couldn't get a hold of her. And I want to tell you, I walked in. I opened up my briefcase because I had all my studies in there, and I took out my Bible. And I walked up to Ethel. Ethel was her name. And I walked up to Ethel, and I said, Ethel, in the name of Jesus, I've come to minister his peace and his love to you tonight. And then her eyes were like this. And when I said that, she stopped and started weeping. And when she started weeping, I walked up to her. And we were trying not to let this happen. But I walked up to her and she just hugged me. Wrapped me up and hugged me. And she was crying. And so I motioned to the other guys. Leave, get out. And they had this lockup room, padded room, small padded room. They were trying to get her in. And I said, Ethel, I'm going to take my Bible and we're going to walk in there. And I'm going to pray over you and I'm going to read the Bible to you. She said, oh, Mr. Hall, would you please read the Bible to me? I need it so bad tonight. Mr. Hall, I'm having a bad night. I see, I understand, I see that. And so I walked in there. Prayed over, started reading the Bible. She calmed down like a little girl and sat in the corner, and she was at peace. Now, I want to tell you, the evening shift wanted to know how I did that. So I got to tell them right off the bat, you got to know Jesus for this works. Amen? But there's power and authority in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something about Jesus. He is peace. He doesn't just give peace, he is peace. So when he ministers peace to you, he's the persona of peace in you. And that makes a big difference. It's not anything the world understands, it's greater than that. But I want to tell you, that's how powerful that our God is. And I want to tell you, he gave us keys to the kingdom. And we see this in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. I hope to preach fast enough to share it with you this week. But in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, we see the keys to the kingdom of how that you can take the keys to the kingdom of God, the authority and the spiritual principle that God gives, and you can unlock the door and walk in dark places and shine light. You can change atmosphere. The power in the kingdom of God changes atmosphere. When Jesus would announce over and over, the kingdom of God is here and at hand, he wasn't just saying, I'm here. He was saying the dominion of God, say kingdom dominion. He was saying the dominion of God is now in this place. And that's why he ministered the Father's heart, Father's will, Father's authority, Father's word, Father's works, and he arrested and drove back powers of darkness wherever he went. I want to tell you, that's exciting. But you know what? I want to tell you what's exciting. He passed the keys to the kingdom on to us. Is that exciting for you? That's why we can believe God for protection. That's why we can believe God for rescue. He's your Lord, and the kingdom of God is powerful. Psalm 91, verse 1, we've already covered that in four sermons, so I'm just going to mention it. Is practicing his presence. I want to tell you, when you practice his presence, there's revelation. This is the first key to the kingdom is revelation. You get to see who God is. And when you see who God is, I want to tell you, that changes who you are. And so it's very, very powerful. One of the main things, this is why we tell you, you get in the Word of God and you see Jesus. You don't look at, you know, historical facts are there, all kind of geographical facts, all that. But the main thing you're looking for when you're in the Word of God is to see Jesus. And He, the Father, has given us the Holy Spirit, made a deposit in you. And so don't think it's by your brain. Don't think it's by education. It's by revelation. And I want to tell you, our emphasis is revelation because the Holy Spirit's been deposited in us, and part of His role is to help you see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you're transformed. Is that exciting? And so I want to tell you, that's something all of us can do, and the Holy Spirit will show us. Verse 1, Elyon, Most High. Oh, that's so good. He is the Most High. No matter where your problem is, it's down here. And He's the Most High. He is the El Shaddai, the Almighty, in verse 1. And as the El Shaddai, He's the Almighty One. He's the more than enough. He's the more than enough. Hey, whatever your situation is, He's the more than enough. I want to tell you, yes, that'll preach. I've already preached on it. But I'm here to tell you. And then in verse 2, we get some specific instruction. This is the other part of the key of the kingdom. It's two keys. It's a double lock, two keys, but it opens up great power and authority. And it's to confess who He is. To confess who He is. Because faith is voice activated. And so it's important for us to say what He is, who He is. Say what He does. Say what He says. And so those three things right there, that is confession. Now, I know that the religious world has a definition of confession, and I'm not going there. But I will tell you this. The Bible word for confession means to agree with. It means to say with. It means to agree with. What do you agree? You're agreeing with God. And when you agree with God, see, in agreement, submitted to Him, and you say what He says about you. You say what He says about who He is and what He says and what He does. Great authority is relieved. That's so exciting. Okay, here we go. I want to show you that. Well, verse 2 talks about Yahweh. And, man, He's a covenant-keeping God. He cannot lie. He cannot break a promise. I want to tell you. And it's not based on us. It's based on Him. Doesn't that do your heart good? He's Elohim. In verse 2, God, the power, God of power. He's the creator. And you just think about that. The very God that created everything that you see and know is in your corner. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Man, that ought to encourage somebody somewhere. Okay, here we go. Now, I want to show you the two keys. Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter replied. The question's been asked, who is He? Jesus said, who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that's revelation. And he confessed revelation. Very powerful. That's the keys to the kingdom. Verse 17, Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This didn't come by education, but by my Father who is in heaven. It came by revelation. And so let me share with you, there's an emphasis in the church about education, and there's a tendency for the church to copy the world. Hey, there's a level of education that you need. You just need to know. Understanding is important with wisdom. But I want to tell you, wisdom is revelation. And the most important emphasis from the Bible is not the education, it's the revelation. Seeing Jesus for who He is. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So let me say this to you. Revelation comes from heaven. That's why we get a first-hand report, because the Holy Spirit's that deposit in us, and He's the revealer of Jesus. And part of His main role is to reveal Jesus to you. Well, we see it on the road to Emmaus, don't we? When Jesus blinded the eyes so that they didn't recognize Him, and He pointed out Himself in the Word of God to Mr. and Miss Disciple on the road to Emmaus. Well, boy, that ought to show us something. Apparently, Jesus felt like it was more important for them to see him in the Word than it was for them to recognize him by physical sight. We know what he told Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. But he loves to reveal to us himself out of the Word. Somebody say amen. And he said, I'll tell you, you are Peter, you're the rock. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to share this. And I know that there are a number of pastors watch this. They tell me, don't think you have to agree with me. Don't make it a test of fellowship. Matter of fact, if you don't agree with me, you need to keep listening, because you know what I tell you. There's probably more that we agree about than what we disagree about. Amen. But here's where we are. He's telling Peter, you're a rock. Now, who's the great rock? Jesus is the real rock. And so when you're a rock off the rock, you're the real thing. And I want to tell you, he was a little rock off the big rock. All right, but there's more to this. Are you ready? There's more to this. Here it comes. He said, you're Peter. You're a rock. You're a rock from the rock. But on this rock, now, somebody say bedrock. Okay, because it's talking about the big rock. This is talking about foundation rock. It's important for you to be a rock off the rock wherever you go. It doesn't matter where you go, you're to be a rock off the rock, not just a church. Somebody say amen. But here we go. But this is what he's saying. But on this confession of revelation, on this revelation confession, I'm going to build my foundation rock, my bedrock. My church is going to be built on this confession of revelation. Well, I'll tell you, I just love this. But when we confess who he is, what he says, and what he does, Jesus said, this is what's going to make my church progress, is your confession of revelation. That's progression. Now, it's not just progress, it's also how to resist. It's also our protection from the enemy and the powers and works of darkness. Look at this. And the gates of Hades, the powers of hell, shall not overpower the church because of their confession of revelation. And so it does two things. It makes the church progress. It makes you progress. It causes you to grow. It causes you to develop. It causes you to be what God wants you to be. It's not by your works, it's by your words. But at the same time, this is also the same keys that protect you from the powers of darkness. This is the same keys that cause you to overcome and be a victor and an overcomer over the powers of darkness that come against your life. According to what Jesus said, hell itself shall not overpower it because of your confession of revelation. Now, we know the Bible says, matter of fact, Peter brings it out, but the Bible says, submit to God. Agree with God. Humble yourself before the Lord. Jesus first. Submit to God and resist the enemy. You say what God says, and you resist the enemy by saying what God says. You tell the mountain to get up and move. You speak like Jesus said to mountains. And I want to tell you, we submit to God and resist the enemy. And the Bible says the enemy will flee. He may not flee at the first word, but he will flee. Hallelujah to the Lord. What great victory this is. And so it's the revelation of Jesus and the confession of who he is, what he says, and what he does. He says, I give you. Now, notice this is in the same group of scriptures. It's not a different subject. It's the same one. He says, I give you this. These are the keys of the kingdom. So he shows them how it works. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and lawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. In other words, our speaking and resisting has got to be in agreement to what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are already saying. It's got to be in agreement with what his word says. This is not telling a little one to go get in the car and go wherever he wants. No, no, no. We got direction here. There's confirmation here. It's important to say what God says, to agree and submit to what God wants. It's His will. And so I'm telling you, whatever you bind on earth must be already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth must be what already is loosed in heaven. So again, it's the same thing. We submit to His will. And, you know, we're in agreement with His word. We're in agreement with His desire. And when we speak that, faith activated. Promises are activated by faith. And I want to tell you, when we speak it, it's voice activated. Boy, that's exciting stuff. And so I tell our mountain movers team that the way to remember it is you bind the bad and you loose the good. You bind the bad and loose the good. Great grace is shalom peace. It's very, very powerful because we've covered this with you. It means wellness. It covers great blessing and wellness in every area, shalom peace. Luke 10, 5 and 6, and I'm going to show you an example of this. Whatever house you enter, he told the disciples when he sent them out to minister. And you know what it applies for us? You know what? I practice this. You know when I come into your house, that as I enter your house, I say, great grace and shalom peace be upon this house. I do it as a greeting. And you know what? This is what he says. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this household. In other words, you have the keys to the kingdom of God. You can release the peace of the kingdom. And you have authority to bind the bad and to loose the good. That's right. See, I'm telling you, you can change atmospheres. Now, you know as well as I do, and I'm in homes, and especially the last couple of years, you walk into homes, and there's a sick culture sometimes in the home. You know, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to help you. There's a sick culture. There's a sick atmosphere. There's sickness in the atmosphere. Sometimes you go in and there's disturbance in the atmosphere. And it's because the people are fussing and fighting. But there's a disturbance in the atmosphere. And you can sense it. You know it's there. It's real. And it's powerful. But I want to tell you, it's not more powerful than the kingdom of God. The dominion of God. Am I right? And Jesus said we can walk into a house and we can change the atmosphere. And we speak what God is and what God says and what He's doing. And that's what this is. It's speaking a blessing. And I want to tell you, when that happens, look at what it says here. I love the way the Amplified brings this out. It says, freedom, you're releasing freedom, loosing the good, binding the bad. You're releasing freedom from all the distresses that result from sin to be with this family. All the distressing effects of sin on that family are arrested. Are you listening to me? And you're releasing the shalom peace of God into that home. Now, this is what I tell people, because I want to tell you, some of you have battlefield in your homes. And I want to tell you, here's the secret. Before you can take authority in your tent of your home, you got to be sure the shalom peace is flowing in this tent. Hey, it's inside first. Are you listening to me? You see, this is not just repeating like a parrot somewhere to get what you... No, 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 no. Hey, He wants to do a work in us before He does a work through us. But the same work He does in us, He can multiply that kingdom to work through others. Because it's not just for you. The kingdom is for others. And so I want to tell you how exciting this is. You can bind the bad in your home, and you can release the good. All right, that's keys to the kingdom. What do? Hey, you confess the revelation. And so I'm telling you, the first thing is to practice verse 1 in Psalm 91. You go get in a secret place, and you recognize God Elyon. You recognize God El Shaddai, and you practice enjoying His presence. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to give you revelation. And He'll show you Jesus in a fresh way, in a real way. Listen to me, in a personal way. He'll reveal Jesus, because I want to tell you, He's a very practical Lord. And He wants to manifest Himself in practical ways at your house, in this tent, and in your house. My, my, my. And if anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there, the peace and the blessedness that you speak, that you wish will come upon them, And if not, it shall come back to you. Now listen, not every place I go am I celebrating. Okay? I had a pastor the other day who was trying to catch me, and I was out of town again. He said, "Do you ever stay home?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, the last two times I've tried to catch you, you've been out of town." I said, "Look, I go where I'm celebrated. I stay where I'm celebrated." Okay? I go where I'm invited, and I stay where I'm celebrated. Amen. Oh, okay, but what I'm telling you is this, is that not every place. See, I've even been preaching weekend meetings at churches sometimes and been invited not to come back and finish. Okay? And it's all right. It's okay. You know what? Jesus wasn't successful in every place he ministered. Oh, yes, that's true. When he went to his own hometown area, the Bible says there's very little that he could do because of their unbelief. Not everybody's hungry. Not everybody's thirsty. And the Lord doesn't push himself on people. But here we are. And if they don't receive it, it'll come back to you. Now, I want to tell you, this is what I'm saying to you. His peace rules and reigns, and you need to continue to let it rule and reign in your life no matter how people respond to you or the message. So we're not to get in this big rejection mode, this prophet mode, where we're going to have the Lord rebuke them for not accepting and receiving. No, 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 no. I want to tell you, that's between them and the Lord. And I want to tell you, if they rejected Jesus, they'll reject you. And I want to tell you, it's not based on people's response, but what God is and what he says and what he does. Amen. Boy, that'll set you free. It'll come back to you. In other words, the peace is to continue to rule and reign in your life. It's voice activated. Go change atmospheres. I got invited to speak, this was years ago, on a Wednesday night. And it was down in South Texas. And so I had to leave that morning, got there, down in the, I'm going to say this part. It was in the Golden Triangle down in Texas, South Texas. And I got there, and man, the parking lot was packed. People were everywhere. And man, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a great night, man, a great night. And I walked into the church, and it was like you could skate down the aisle. And you'd have thought you were at a WWF event. There was tension in the air. They had been fussing and fighting. And they met on that Wednesday night to fuss and fight. A denominational leader invited me to go be there that night and didn't tell me what was happening. I'm kind of glad he didn't. Because when I got there and saw and sensed the tension, and the anger and the hatred and the bitterness in the air, it made me cry out to God in a different way. I immediately knew this message that I had wasn't going to work tonight. Lord help. That's a good prayer. But I want to tell you something. What the Lord had me to do, and it's in your bulletin, the little confessions of a new creation that we put in there that we kind of personalized for what God says about you out of his New Testament, out of his word. And I want to tell you, I had that with me, with my sermon. And so I stood up. And I said, I want everybody here to take your eyes off each other, and let's get our eyes on Jesus. And I want you to say with me, confess, to agree with what God says about you. This is a church and not a battle club. This is not a social club. It's his church for his honor and glory. I want y'all to repeat after me. And I started at the first and began to work my way all the way through, and I just have them repeat it. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. What I say in faith, without doubt, I receive. I'm loved by the Father. I'm loved by the Son. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. There's a power source within me which is able to do abundantly beyond all I ask or think. And I began to just work through them and had them repeat it. I didn't get all the way through. Listen to me. I didn't get all the way through, but by confessing the Word of God, what God says about us, I want to tell you, it was like an air cleaner. Would you capture this? It was like an air cleaner that just removed the poison out of the air and changed the atmosphere from anger and bitterness and disturbance and lack of trust and security. It changed it to a touch of heaven. Now, you know as well as I do, it wasn't anything about the messenger. It was the message. But I want to tell you, when they began to honor the Lord and confess what he, I want to tell you, atmosphere changed in that house. Now, it was one of the longest meetings I've ever been in and one of the shortest messages. Because I want to tell you something, that revival broke out that night. People getting right with each other. Man, I ain't over it yet. It was decades ago. People getting right with each other. People getting right with God. People repenting out loud, confessing their sins before the whole body. And I want to tell you, there was a sweet renewal and a sweet revival that took place. Why? Because the keys of the kingdom unlocked. Hey, to a dark room brought light. That same keys of the kingdom you can use in your life. You say, well, Brother Tim, I work for a company, and it's not a godly company, it's a worldly. No, no, I'm telling you, the peace of God can rule and reign in this tent. And wherever you are, the kingdom of God is there. You carry with you the life and the liberty, the power of the kingdom of God, because you're touched with all the fullness of God, not just a little bit of Jesus, but the very fullness of God dwells within you. And I want to tell you what you can do. You can take your seat, your desk, your cubicle, your little area of authority that you have, and you can ensure that the kingdom of God, the dominion of God, rules and reigns in your area. We got testimonies all over the house. You know what happens? People begin to show up at your desk because they sense peace there. They sense love. They sense joy. And they have a tendency to bring their problems to you and receive the word of the day. Come on. That's the kingdom of God being multiplied right there. Don't you love him? And so we practice his presence in verse 1. And in verse 2, this is what it says. I will say. Does that sound like confession of what he, who he is? Does that sound like a key to the kingdom? Verse 1, we get the revelation of who he is. Verse 2, we confess who he is. We say it. Man, there's a lot of power in this. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. And so I'm asking you this morning, what's coming out of your mouth? Listen now, life or death. There's a lot of power into what we say. Who are you agreeing with? The word of the Lord or the word of the world? Hey, are you speaking healing or death? Healing or sickness? Peace or fear? Love or envy? Savior or self? Come on. Faith or doubt, fear, speculation? Listen at Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Let me tell you about the well of life. It multiplies the kingdom. It ministers to life to me. Because this is an artesian well. The mouth of the righteous multiplies the kingdom, but the mouth of the wicked brings destruction and darkness. Powerful. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth keeps his life. You've heard me say it takes just as much power of the Holy Ghost to shut up as it does to speak up. Man, I could preach there. I ain't got time. But he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Man, we see this on the internet. It's just absolutely ridiculous what happens. I tell you, it's okay to be honest and open with each other, but there is a warning in Proverbs about psychological nakedness. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge it shall eat the fruit of it. For death or life. In other words, you are developing your own plate by what you say. Words are seeds. But I'm telling you, by what you say, you're determining what you're going to eat. Whether it's death or life. What are your words saying about God? Hey, our words are creative. All right, they're creative. What are you designing with your words? Life or death? Do you confess sickness and sorrow, death, or health, peace, and life? We got to declare and decree life to us and speak life into our atmosphere. Psalm 91:2. Here we go again. I will say of the Lord, I will confess it, I will speak it. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, in him I confidently trust. I will confess. Are you confessing, Lord, you're my refuge? Lord, you're my fortress. Lord, I trust in you. See, the Hebrew word for refuge refers to a storm shelter or a safe room, a shelter from danger. In Texans, we think tornado shelter. He is that too. Your daily confession. See, not just when you're in trouble. Hey, come on now. Let's live this. Hey, let's treat God for more than what he is. He's not just 911. He will do that. But I'm telling you, he wants more than that with your life. He wants a relationship with you. And your daily confession needs to express your heart. Lord, you're my storm shelter. I don't care what they say on the TV. I don't care what statistics say. I don't care what everybody, all the experts are saying. Lord, you're my storm shelter. You're my safe room. Somebody say amen. So verse 2 reveals that God will be your fortress. Now, this refers to like a castle or a stronghold. Usually imagination room God gave you, and see that castle or stronghold. That's what God will be for you. In this part of the world, you know, with the great cowboy history, we think of the fort. The Wild West, the fort. Well, a fort is a place of protection from attacks. Your God is your safe room from small attacks, and your fort from large-scale attacks. I want to tell you, you're covered. It's like what Paul describes, the buckler and the shield. The buckler is that small shield for close-in fighting, but that shield is a big one from far away. I want to tell you, from close or from far away, he's your divine protection. He's your place of hope. Let's not be like religion and talk like God's the source of our troubles and storms. No, he's not. 1,000 times no. Jesus made it clear, John 10:10, a thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? Yeah, you're right, it's the enemy. He said, I've come. This is the purpose of Jesus. I've come that they might have life and enjoy life. I want to tell you, he gives us. Hey, I want to tell you, everlasting life doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts when you accept Jesus. He come that we might have life and enjoy life and have it to the abundance, to the full, till it overflows. I'm committed. I'm saying it. Anything less than the abundant life for Jesus is not God's will for my life. Not God's will for your life or for your church. Don't blame God for what the enemy's doing. You may feel like, and I want to tell you this, I got to talk about feelings and emotions. But it goes like this. You may feel like you're exposed to danger and that you're all alone. I talk to people that's where they are. That's what they sense. That's what they feel. And that God is far away and you're isolated from help. But I'm asking you, practice verse 1. Take time out to seek him and recognize who he is. And recognize and remember his love for you. And practice receiving his love. You see, it's one thing to know it in your mind, yeah, God loves me. But it's another thing for you to be still long enough in his secret place and allow the Lord to love on you personally on the inside. That's what you need and that's what he wants. Receive his love. Be still. Dwell there. You remember what that means to camp out there. And remember the revelation of who he is. While you're in his presence. He's not distant. Hey, look, he's not distant. I had someone tell me this year, God's far away. I said, no, he's not. God's not distant. He's right there. He's not distant. You're distracted. Hear and sense his loving presence. Practice receiving. Use the imagination room God gave you and see him as your secret place. Abide under his shadow. Remember, that means to be close where the action is. Savor his favor. Receive God's wisdom and rest for your troubled soul. Because he said, bring your burden to me and I'll give you rest. And that rest is like a vacation rest. It's a renewing, a refreshing rest. Is that what you want? That's what he wants. That feeling of being far away is a lie. It's a lying feeling. Let me say it again. It's a lying emotion. Hebrews 13:5, the latter part of verse 5 says, "For he, God himself, has said," are you listening to this? This is your covenant-keeping God, God that cannot lie. "I will not in any way fail you. I will not in any way give you up nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not." Oh, come on now. That's three times. I know your mama or your big mama, you say, "Don't let me make me tell you again." I'm telling you, when the Lord says something three times, he wants you to take it down deep inside. And he wants you to own it. He wants you to put your name on it. Because that's his heart for you. "I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you," or get this now, I love this in the Amplified, nor "let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not." I want to tell you, he got you. And he says, "I will not even relax my hold on you." God's true. God's true, and that feeling is a lie. Your feeling has to do more with condemnation, guilt, failure, or disappointment. But I want to tell you, he paid the price and shed the blood for every single one of those emotions. And you can bring those to him, and he can relieve you. He'll take and has taken those emotions upon himself, even in Gethsemane, so you could be free. Jesus paid a high price for you to have access to his continual presence. On the cross, he was forsaken and rejected. He took our place. He was rejected so that you will never be rejected. We have his continual presence. We have his continual acceptance. No matter if you messed up your Cheerios yesterday, I'm here to tell you, you have his acceptance. That's because of Jesus. We can enjoy the benefit of him as our refuge and our fortress. And you know what the Bible says, Psalm 91:2, we're to speak it. Speak life to yourself and to your situation. Jabez was, we did a sermon on Jabez not too long ago. I hadn't gotten over him yet. But I want to tell you, he was a man caught in a cycle of sorrow and pain, but he recognized God's heart for his freedom life. That's the name of a good church. Freedom life. He received it by faith. And he responded by a freedom life prayer. Sounds a whole lot like Psalm 91. Because God's heart is the same for Jabez and for the psalmist and for you. "I call upon your name, Jesus. You are my blessing. You have given me high favor. I receive your increased blessing to be a blessing. Your presence is with me. I receive your divine protection from the evil one and evil ways. I choose abundant life. Thank you that Jesus is my yes." So what do? We practice his presence, and we say to yourself, and I tell people, say it out loud. "The Lord is with me. I have his favor, blessings, and protection. His shadow is a picture of nearness." In Christ, I want to tell you, it's not by your performance. It's by his performance. In Christ, you're already there. He's your shelter. This is my position. We have the blessing of salvation, so we're free to practice his presence. In Christ, I'm announcing this, you can't get any closer to God. But we're to recognize it, see? We're to receive it, and then we're to respond to it. In this new covenant picture, Father's running toward you, the son or daughter, in spite of our failures. New covenant presents that we're seated with Christ. Hey, with our Heavenly Father. Because of Jesus, when Father looks at you, listen to me, when Father looks at you, he smiles. You need to hear and meditate on this truth until you see it. See, that's what revelation is. You meditate on it, you seek the Lord till the Holy Spirit shows it to you with your name on it. And you have confidence and you're assured by it. This wins over the feeling of that lie. When feelings say he's a million miles away or he doesn't care about your problems or he's punishing you, we trust his word. Call upon his name. He is closer than your own breath. His word is true, and my emotions and feelings are a lie if they go against his word. So you got to trust God in the middle of feelings. You trust him when fear is attacking. When it looks like you're surrounded. When fear is manifesting against you, you trust God and you act on his word. I'm just here to tell you, you know, you've heard me say, but you got to get out of the boat. Even when the storm is present, you got to get out of the boat. You say, well, I'm afraid. Well, you can't wait till fear runs away. You know, I'm not the first person that has ever said this, but it fits. That ammo fits in my rifle. You got to do it afraid. Hey, it's in the presence of fear. And you trust God in spite of the presence of fear, and you step out on God. You say what he says about the situation. And I want to tell you, don't wait till fear leaves. When we deal with people afraid to leave their homes, fly on a plane, pursue a new career, afraid to start a new friendship, afraid they'll be rejected. They're afraid to volunteer in ministry. Hey, they're afraid to visit a new Bible study. They're afraid to come to church. I want to tell you, don't be discouraged because we have some empty seats. They're going to be filled again to the overflow, to multiple services. I want to tell you, to multiple campuses. I want to tell you, it's a great vision. But I want to tell you, it troubled me a few weeks ago when we had one of those winter Sundays. You know, it was a winter Sunday. In Texas, they're rare. But we had a winter Sunday. It was cold. It was miserable. And you know what? We had empty seats, and we had parking spaces available for your car. And on the way home, I had kind of a holy mad. Is it all right for me to confess this to you? I had kind of a holy mad. And I'm kind of bouncing it off the beautiful blonde, our first lady. And she's trying to help me have direction. And we turned the corner up here on the highway to head east. And we drove by a mosque. And I only saw one empty parking place. Now, you forgive me for having a holy mad. Because we know freedom. We know liberty. We know truth. We know the kingdom. We know the dominion of God. But I want to tell you, the truth only sets us free when we apply it. But when we apply it, I want to tell you, it shakes hell. Little grandma may seem harmless, but when she believes God and says what God says and practices his presence, I want to tell you, she shakes hell. She changes atmospheres. Don't let fear dictate your life. Trusting in the Lord doesn't mean fear is absent. It means you trust God anyway. I got to wrap up, and I don't want to. Remember, the Holy Spirit wants to give you personal revelation of who he is. That's life to you. That's a big part. And then we're to say what he says. We're not limited because we have a God that is abundantly unlimited. He's my God in whom I trust. That's what verse 2 says. Okay, let me just finish with this. Between those first two verses, there's four names of God. They're beautiful. And you know what? We get to know him. We get to believe him. We get to say who he is. And he's our protector in every way, every day, not just on Sunday. Not just when you feel spiritual. Okay? Hey, he never sleeps. Remember that verse? He's the God that says, I'll never sleep. Because he's got you in mind. And he's already paid the price for your provision of protection. And so I'm announcing to you, people of God, we don't have to do what we do because of fear. We do what we do because of faith. He is our position of protection. Now, aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Let me pray for you right now. And I'm going to pick this up next week right here. And so tune in live and living color next week. Same channel, same time. And I got to pick up. I got some things to share with you. I think you're going to set you free. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Thanks for your love life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our walk with you is a relationship. It's a love life. Thank you, Lord, that it's more than rules and regulations. It's you. And thank you that we get to know you and enjoy you. And we get to experience you in this journey in a personal way. Lord Jesus, I just bless everyone listening right now. And Lord, we just take authority over every doubt, fear, speculation, unbelief. Lord, we renounce it in Jesus' name. And Lord, by the power of your word and your spirit, we release life to those who are listening right now. And we speak in Jesus' name, kingdom life, kingdom dominion, to multiply in your place, in your heart, in your tent, in your house. We speak in Jesus' name, liberty and freedom. We confess shalom, peace, the wellness of the Lord in every area, in inside, outside, and all about. We bless the Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus. And we declare and decree in Jesus' name, you're our divine protection. You're our high favor. You're our blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you are chasing us down daily with your goodness and loving kindness. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen.